Well, if you have your Bible, please do turn for this shortened message, but nonetheless a message from the Lord this morning. Please do turn to the book of Colossians if you want to put your finger also in Acts chapter 19. Please do so. Essentially, this morning, just in the time that I have, I want to do three simple things. I want to just share with you a little bit about how this letter came to be written. Say a little bit about the people to whom it was written. And to say a little bit about what essentially was written. I don't know whether you can see that. Hopefully you can see it to some extent. It is obviously a map of the eastern Mediterranean. And you can see Italy and then Greece and then Turkey and then right down into Israel and Palestine and the Holy Land. But you can also see the way this map is that it zooms in on a particular part of Western Turkey and it lifts it out. Now, I don't know whether you can see all the details, but that's essentially the area that we are talking about when we talk about Colossae. It is, for those of you who are interested, Colossae does not exist any longer. There is a town in that region called Honas in the western Aegean province of Turkey, and you can go there and you can probably go to a mound somewhere in a field and somebody will say, well, this is Colossae. But in order to understand how this letter came to be written, let me just very briefly tell you what happened. And you can see from the map there, if your eyesight is better than mine, you can see over towards the coast the name of Ephesus. And so the situation was, just to summarize it very quickly, and this is what Acts 19 tells us. Paul was in Ephesus, and he was speaking, as he often did, first of all to the people who went to the synagogue, the Jewish people. We're told that they, like many people in every generation can, they became obstinate. They wouldn't listen any longer. So Paul did a very sensible thing. He left them and he went to people who would listen. And we're told that in the hall of Tyrannus that he discussed and he debated and he talked for no less than 2 years. That's quite a long time to debate and talk and discuss about the gospel. We're told that many, many Jews and Greeks heard the word. Now, here is the point, folks. We know for certain that one of the people who walked into Ephesus and who very possibly walked into the lecture hall of Tyrannus was a man called Epaphras. Epaphras was from Colossae, along the valley to the east. Epaphras was converted. That's what happens when the gospel is taught and proclaimed. People are converted to Christ. And Epaphras then went back to his hometown and did what any converted person does. They say to other people, I want to tell you about Jesus. And Epaphras saw other people converted and brought into the little church that came into being in Colossae. Some time passed, and Epaphras traveled all the way from western Turkey to the city of Rome. And one of the reasons he did that was because he knew that Paul was in Rome. Paul was under arrest. He was in chains. We know that from Colossians chapter 4. He speaks about him being in chains. And Epaphras wants to talk to Paul. Epaphras wants to talk to Paul about the church in Colossae. And he wants to tell him, Paul, we've got some problems in Colossae. And that, in a nutshell, is how this letter came to be written. You say to me, what were the problems? Well, we will maybe come on that as the weeks go by. There was a particular false teaching that was beginning to be spread. Some suggestions are that it was maybe connected with a pagan cult. Other suggestions are it was a particular brand of sectarian Judaism that was influencing the church. Some suggest it was a thing called fancy word Gnosticism, which was really just people who were saying, you know, we have the real knowledge. Gnosticism, the Greek word gnosis, meaning knowledge. We have the real knowledge. You need to really link in with us in order to have the real McCoy. And it was creating problems. So that's how. How did it come to be written? That's how it came to be written. Let me say something. To whom was it written? Well, if you have your Bible open, this is what I want you to just notice. Colossians 1 and verse 2 says, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ. The NIV says, at Colossae. Yes, that's a fair translation. It can also mean in Colossae. So, in Christ, in Colossae. There were some problems in this little church. There can be problems in every church. The church is not perfect. If you ever find the perfect church, as Spurgeon says, well, don't join it, because at that point it will have become imperfect. Paul writes to these brothers and sisters. If you like, he speaks of these holy and faithful brothers. You know, folks, this is the true brotherhood and sisterhood. In the world, throughout the whole world, whatever country you go to, whatever nation you go to, you will find examples of all sorts of groups and organizations offering brotherhood and sisterhood. But the Christian gospel offers a holy brotherhood and a holy sisterhood in a way that nothing else can offer that thing. And Paul writes to these brothers and sisters. And I just want you to think for a moment about this little phrase, in Christ, in Colossae. To whom was he writing? He was writing to those who were in Christ, in Colossae. In Christ, in Kilkeel. In Christ, in Westport. In Christ, in Loughrea, in Christ, in Nakasungula. There's a number of lessons. Let me just maybe mention one of them, a lesson here about the church family. If you're a Christian this morning, every Christian belongs to a particular church family. And the Christians in Colossae belong to that church family. But remember this, that just in the same way as there was only one church in Colossae, there is actually only one church in Kilkeel. You know that, don't you? And it's not, start with your own, it's not Kilkeel Presbyterian Church, nor is it Mourne Presbyterian Church, nor is it Kilkeel Free Presbyterian Church, or the Baptist Church, or whatever. There is one church in Kilkeel, in Westport, in wherever, made up of those who are truly born of God, truly regenerate, redeemed by Christ, part of his church. So folks, God knows who those people are. You and I do not. And our church family, if you want to put it this way, is much bigger than we often credit. Sometimes we have much too narrow a view of who or what the Church of Jesus Christ is. The Church of Jesus Christ is made up of all those who are truly in Christ, truly saved by grace, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And that is a wonderful thing in Christ, in Colossae. But I want to say something before I finish. And this is probably the heart and the most important thing that I say about this morning. What was it that Paul was essentially writing to these Colossians? Remember, there was a false idea coming into the church, and it was to do with people saying, well, if you really want to be a true Christian, you're going to have to do this, you're going to have to do that, you're going to have to do the other thing. And if you're going to experience the fullness that we are speaking about, that's probably the language that they were using, then you're going to have to do all these things. And Paul says, no. No. Paul says, you have fullness already in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is supreme. He is sufficient. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. He is the very mystery of God. In him all the wisdom and the treasures of God are to be found. And if you want the essence and the kernel of this message to Colossians, well, there it is. And let me read it to you. It's Colossians chapter 2 from verse 6. Either follow it or let me read it to you. Listen carefully. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And then listen to this. In light of what has come in, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Here it is. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been brought to fullness, or given fullness in Christ, as one of the translation puts it. Folks, what was it that Paul said to these Colossians? He said to them, no matter what somebody says to you, no matter what other teaching you hear, if it is taking you away from the supremacy and the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is distorted. It is not right. There is something wrong with it. One of the commentators, a man who's gone to be with the Lord, Reginald White, says this: the surest and safest preventative against all sub-Christian deviations is a full experience of the fullness of Christ. The sure antidote to all the misrepresentations, exaggerations, and perversions of the gospel that clutter Christendom is to be rooted. It's to be built up. It's to be established in Christ, just as you were taught. And folks, that is the message I leave with you this morning. And I want to ask you this question. Have you an experience of the fullness of Christ in your heart? Can you sing? We're not going to sing it this morning, but no doubt we will sing it over these coming weeks. Can you sing with passion and with feeling those glorious words of Jesus, lover of my soul? Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. Do you see what those words are saying? They are saying to us that in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his person, in his work, and in an experience, a saving experience of Jesus, you actually have been given everything that you need to live a blessed life. And the question is, and I take you back as I finish to the picture that I showed the children, the question is, are you more akin to the first picture that I put up with the children, where it was all on the surface and you didn't see anything of the roots? Are you all surface, no roots, all outward, nothing going deep down? Because if it's all outward, if it's all surface, then we're going to be struggling. We need to put our roots deep down into Jesus. And so I challenge you, as I do finish this week, take time to be with the Lord and pray, Lord, help me to be more than just what's on the outside, but let my roots go deep down into Jesus to experience and know the fullness that comes from knowing him. Amen. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts.